kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title for us to talk about today, and we're calling this teaching Having Greater Knowledge of Jesus Christ. Having a Greater Knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has come empowering us, baptizing us in the Spirit, that we have a deeper understanding a knowledge of Jesus. And that is to be in this life, not when we get into glory. Our experience of glory, our experience of Jesus Christ starts in this life. And that's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that our knowledge, our understanding, our experience of the Lord, we know flesh and blood, the intellect, cannot give this. You have to become a new creation. You have to be made anew. And so what we're talking about today is an experience. It is something that you have to know, be touched by, having your ears and eyes open. As I always say, when Christ comes into your life, you are not the same. Your life completely changes. Everything within you, about you, your motive, your attitudes, your thinking, your future, your dreams, your destiny, everything, the whole lot changes. And we need the Word of God again preached in such a way that Christ is presented in His fullness through the pulpit, through the teaching, so that lives can change and be and embrace the life of Jesus Christ in their life and walk. And of course we know the enemy tries to attack. The enemy doesn't mind us having good morals, being upstanding, polite, try and live a good life. The enemy doesn't mind any of that, but what he does hate is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That is the name he hates. And that is what he hates in you that now lives and dwells. And that's why we lift him up. That is why we praise his name. We speak boldly, confidently of the name of Jesus, because we're not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation. So we're calling this today Having a Greater Knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Chapter 3 and verse 10 of Philippians, which tells us this: I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. One could say, what a strange way of knowing someone. That is certainly not how I would like to get to know a person about their resurrection, fellowship with their sufferings, and being conformed to his death. Why, you must be mad. That's not how you make friendship. That is not how you have fellowship with someone. Can you see what God has to do with us in changing our mind, our thinking? And yet that is exactly what he says that we are to have, how we're to know him and to have that fellowship. And so the apostle says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So he goes to the first thing of where we're to know Christ and to have that knowledge and experience of him. We have to go to Calvary, to the cross, because the cross achieved resurrection, a new life. And so that is where you will get your understanding of Christ, the knowledge and wisdom that he wants you to have. You go to the cross, which you too take up daily and follow. That death to the self-life. The self-life that will try to get in the way of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate goal of the cross that you take up daily and follow, that puts to death the selfish life within us in order to experience the risen life of Christ. That's its goal. That is, if you like, the vision of the cross that you daily take up. God doesn't leave us in a state of death. And that's what the devil wants you to look at. He wants you to look at, oh, the cross is nothing but death. The cross is nothing but just misery and depression and so on. Well, I'd better take my cross up this day and follow the Lord. Why bother? It's what comes from this. As I've always said, God never left his son in death. He raised him up. Death was the means of resurrection. And death to the self-life, dealing with the flesh, the attitudes, the motives, the heart within us, is the means of resurrection. For what? For a greater knowledge and experience of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it's for. Resurrection is so that you have fellowship, a relationship with the Lord. We hear so much today in Christendom about a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. And I'm all for that, but they don't teach you how you get it. It's based on emotions. As some of you know, I've started preaching on Instagram. The Lord's opened up on that. And if some of you want to follow that, then we can give the address for that. But I've listened to many other short sermons and testimonies, and it didn't take me long to realize that so much of Christendom and what they confess, what they talk about, is in the flesh. They want the emotions, the feeling. And do you know why? Because the cross isn't preached. And God is clearly showing me why he wants me there. And do you know what is interesting? It's a lot of young people that are being drawn to this, which is so interesting. And I will do this and as the Lord leads, for his glory, because this word has to go out. And I can see clearly what lacks today in Christendom It comes back to the cross. It's what Jesus has done for us in Galatians 2:20, and thank God that he has. But he also says that you are to take up your cross daily and follow me. We do it in the same likeness, but now the death is spiritual, whereas it was of the physical with our Lord to redeem. But it is now spiritual that God works the cross, that death to the self-life for that relationship with Jesus Christ that isn't based on all human emotions. We want to make Jesus Christ worldly and earthly, to identify with him so that he can sympathize with our sinning and rebellion. Look how subtle the devil is. And that's why I thank God for the deeper life teaching, because it is the cross. It is being crucified with Christ. Me too, identifying with that cross and allowing the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to put to death all those ungodly things that are within us and within me. For what purpose? For a greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostle lived for. He overcame for. He went through all the trials and tribulations, the imprisonment, stoning, shipwreck, you name it, so that he would know Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, in the heart, in other words. And that is what God is restoring in these times of restoration, as he brings us back now under his banner, his presence, that we identify with him and that he makes disciples out of us. We're not saved to look at ourselves and to analyze how I'm doing, but we're saved that we look away from self to Jesus Christ. It's about his mighty power and love that he has set within me. And where do we see this? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And the apostle says in verse 18, he says, I, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to experience him in the fullness, which he's working within us. And it's only ever going to come when we decrease that he increases. It will never, ever work. And you will go away despondent. And that's why we have some walk away from the deeper life, because they come to a decision. Is it about my life or the life of Jesus? Because they realize two lives cannot live in you. And you come to that. He will challenge you on that. What life do you want living in you? Your own life, your own will, your own way? Or do you want the life, my life, now living and dwelling in and through you? You have to decide that. And I rejoice that we have a remnant here today that has come to listen, who has made that choice. In actual fact, when you fully come to Christ, there is no other choice. There's only one. But God has given us a free will, and he never forces us. That is the point. What does it say in Romans 6, verses 4-7? Romans 6, verses 4-7, and we're calling our teaching today having a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says in verses 4-7, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certain we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And so we are quite willing to go through the waters of baptism and to be baptized into the name of Jesus, identifying with him. And we often do that with our Christian friends in the church. It's one of the outward witnesses that we do. But for most, that's all it is. I've done my commitment. I've gone through the waters. That is a sign now that I'm crucified with Christ. It isn't. It's just the start. It's the start, because you now, by faith, have to start taking it up each day. And they don't, and you know why? Because much of it is not taught. Do you know why a lot of preachers don't want to teach this one? Because if you teach this, you empty your churches. Even our Lord was left with 11, and one of them betrayed him. The Apostle Paul, they all left him in Asia, he says. Did it deter? No, because you cannot change what God has said in his word. And so we have to see that in every situation we find ourselves in, every day we should be experiencing a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ in me, because that is what the cross does. That is what happens when you get self out of the way. You then experience a greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ, your Heavenly Father. And that's what causes the hunger within us. When you start experiencing the Lord in this way, this is what increases the appetite, the hunger. And this is why we keep coming. We keep listening. Because I like this knowledge. I want to know more about him. I want to experience him more and more. And that's what the cross will do. That's the blessings of the cross. You see, the Holy Spirit has determined that we will have this experience, this realization of him. That's why he's come baptizing us in the Spirit. He has come, he is determined to work within us that greater knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ. That is part of his ministry. And he's working that. And he's going to do that. This is how the bride makes herself ready. This is how she cleanses herself and gets herself ready for that great appearing that is to come in the clouds when he calls us up, the first fruits. How do you think that's going to happen? Will happen because she has had a greater knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ. And look how God does it. We know from the Philadelphian church has little strength. Not much of them. Not much to look at. But has held on to the word and the name of Jesus. And that's it. Because you can't separate the name and the word. They are all one. We are changed by this anointed word that the Spirit has come to teach us. Because faith comes by hearing the word. And this is why we go through the various trials and tribulations. And if we don't overcome them, we find we go through it again and again and again and again until we get it. And we have a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. The areas of unbelief and sin in your life still is you've yet had a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, keep coming, because it's on the way. It's on the way. Trust me. You see, he's teaching us to see that he is everything that we do, from washing or showering, when we eat, prayer time, reading the word, ministering that we do, or ministering to the saints, or washing the disciples' feet, you name it, whatever it is, he's teaching us about Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. He's working what he did in you and me. He's working his love that he had for the unlovable in you and me. Everything that is in Jesus Christ, who's now risen, glorified, sits at the right hand of the Father, he's working that within you and me. He's working his life, his strength, his ability, his faith, his endurance, his knowledge, his understanding, his love, his healing, everything that is found in Jesus Christ, he's working in you and me, in our weakness. That is where your strength lies. And Jesus knew this in his flesh, in the most menial tasks that the Father required of him. We know this in John 13, verses 3 to 5. John 13, 3 to 5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Listen to this, what it says here, before we read the next bit. Jesus, knowing, there it is. How did he know? He was experiencing it. It wasn't just knowledge or theology. He knew that the Father had given him all things into his hands. What are the all things? The authority of this world, the governments, you and I, everything given to him. He has a knowledge of this, an understanding it is. He had come from God and was going to God. So he had come, he divested himself, he's going back. And the next thing, look what happens. Does he go out onto a big mountain and get glorified and show everybody that he's Almighty God? No. Rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You couldn't work that one out in a million years, could you? What would you do if God said that to you in verse 3? You wouldn't be thinking about, well, I'm going to go and minister now. I'm going to go and wash somebody's feet. Nope, you wouldn't. We don't do it because we're still, God still has to deal with pride. That's why. But don't give up, brothers and sisters. We're on the way. He's doing that work. It's getting from our heads to our hearts because he loves us. And he started that work and he will complete and finish it. What for? For his glory. Hallelujah. The question is, do I know him today? Or if you're at the end of the day and you're soon to go to bed, have I known him today? That's the question. Because that is the greater knowledge. That is where he's to be found. And he's sometimes to be found in the most menial things, the most basic tasks. Why didn't Jesus complain there? Because he was doing it for the glory of God unto his Father. And everything we do for the glory of God. Then we will not find that our job gets us down all the time. Or that brother or sister that's like a thorn in the flesh to me. I know, I've been through it. And I know we don't get it straight away. But you see, every negative thought in our mind is burning up extra energy in us that's stopping us from physically being able to go that extra mile. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the word of God tells us. And God is changing our thoughts, our thinking. Because a lot of our thoughts and thinking, sadly, there's a deep behind it. But this is where our deliverance is coming. Praise God. So do I know him today? Am I going to learn more about him today? You see, we put so much of our learning and understanding of Jesus when we come and listen to the word. And rightly so. Of course we do. But it goes on. These teachings that we're having are like a stepping stone for you to go out in that world and experience and learn more of him. In many ways, the preaching and teaching of the word of God is a confirmation to you with what Christ is saying and doing in your life. This is why I've lost count now. How many have come to me over the years or text me or written to me and say, that word you preached was what God was saying or doing in my life. Or how did you know that that was going on in my life? I don't know. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit, the anointing, he does know. And so the preaching, teaching of the word of God is a confirmation of the greater knowledge and understanding that you're having of Jesus. That's why I always say, one of the greatest tests you will know if God is speaking and an anointing that vessel, it is confirming to you the life of Jesus Christ in your life. That's one of the greatest tests. And if it's not confirming, or it's confusing you, then you stop. You wait. You don't embrace it any further. You go before God and inquire of him. And if that vessel that's speaking is not of God, or there's poison attached to it, you do not put your ears to it. That is a warning. But some believers don't listen to that. And they become deceived and take on doctrines of demons. So do I know him today? Jesus knew him that day when God revealed that to him, and he immediately got up after that and he washed the disciples' feet. Amazing. So, having a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ is absolutely vital. That is how we get to know him and to hear his voice in our lives. You see, so often our motives are wrong because we see it as a job to be done. You know, God had to work that one in me when he called me to the ministry. And I went through a period of time where I've got to preach today, I better do this job. This is for the glory of God, until I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, why bother? And I couldn't believe it. And I realized my attitude was wrong. I wasn't seeing this as a great privilege, that this was unto the Lord for his glory. And when I repented of this and I saw this, it completely changed. You see, God had to bring that out of me. He had to expose that. I didn't know that that motive and attitude was there until God had to expose that in me. And it was awful. And it's not a nice thing to hear when the Spirit says, why bother then? In other words, he wasn't going to force me. But when I realized my attitude was wrong, I was able to repent. And what came, what followed, a greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ in my life. Don't ever be down or depressed when it looks as though it's going wrong, or some wrong attitudes seem to be rising to the surface. Downcast, that is your deliverance on the way. He's got to remove that so that you have a greater knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ in your life. And then you'll find washing up, cooking, going shopping, gardening, getting those old weeds out, going the extra mile and all of that starts to become a blessing. You're able then to start to praise God and count it all joy. I don't believe restoration, which we're in the process of being restored, it won't be seen on the earth until we, the church, experience the cross and the resurrection that comes from it. And restoration, its message, its heart, its desire is that I might know him. As the apostle said exactly the same. That I might know him. Because if you don't know him, what is the point? There's no point in going on. And that's why he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He's going to work the death to the self-life in order that you experience his life manifested through you, reaching out to this dying world. Our life is useless. It can only be the life of Jesus working through us, reaching out, touching the lives of others, will we ever see any change. And that's why we know so well, he says, pray for the harvest. But what do we really pray for? The workers, the laborers. Do you know why? Because they need to know Christ in them, the hope of glory. will only be touched and changed when they see and hear Jesus Christ crucified and risen. That is the power of the gospel. I think we're beginning to see, brothers and sisters, where it goes so terribly wrong in a lot of Christendom. You probably have churches down the road, you know, ministries where you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we say in our hearts, as we close with this, here am I, use me. And that's why we respond to the word of God, don't we? And that's why we allow him to do that work through us, because we have stood in that place and said, here am I, Lord, use me. And believe me, he will. And you watch what is coming ahead in your life, your walk, your ministry. You watch what he's going to start to do. And he will do it for his glory. Well, there we are, praise God, having a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I trust we've had a greater knowledge of yet more of him today as we've come together.
Let him in constancy follow.